Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. The 22nd chapter of Matthew in your Scofield Bible, page 1030. Beginning with verse 34, we'll read responsively through verse 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. And in your Scofield Bible, page 1030. As is our custom, let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And let's read 40 together. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Father, there are a lot of folks here today who've been looking forward to this service. They have hungered for the time when they could come to this place and be refreshed and strengthened. Some of the folks here have been through a great deal this past week, and their hearts are hungry for the Word of God. We pray that, hungry or not, that all of us would unite our efforts in focusing our minds and our hearts upon thy word this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for a faithful preacher. And we pray that you'd give us a hunger for that which you've prepared for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. What a marvelous book. Bless our study as we study, and our preaching as we preach, and our hearing as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the two greatest commandments are really just one. The two greatest commandments are really just one. The Pharisees had come to Jesus, and one of them, represented by a lawyer, asked him, or representing them, who was a lawyer, asked him, trying to trick him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." And I'll come back to the ways we're supposed to love him in a few minutes. He said, "This is the greatest commandment." Then he said, "The second is likened to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Somebody asked me one day in a question and answer session, nearly every Tuesday at noon I meet with preachers and workers in places. Please put your pens and pencils up now and look at me and listen to me. Nearly every week, a Tuesday at noon, meet with pastors and full-time workers. We have a question and answer session wherever I'm speaking. And one fellow preacher asked me, he said, "Brother Howells, what do you think is the greatest sin a person can commit?" And I said, "Well, I think a breaking of the commandments." He said, "Then what is the worst sin a person can commit by breaking a commandment?" Now, let's look at these commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Somewhere in there, you'd say that's the greatest sin. I said, "Now, wait a minute. The greatest sin is directly in proportion to the greatest commandment." They asked the Savior, "Which is the greatest commandment?" He did not say the greatest commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. He did not say the greatest commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me. He did not say the greatest commandment is thou shalt not kill. He said the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, if that's the greatest commandment, then if the breaking of it is the greatest sin. Now, you and I would never say that. We'd never say because somebody doesn't love God like he should, he's a fallen person. We have our own listing and our own degree of importance we give to the commandments. But God said the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. Now, if that be true, then the greatest sin is not to love the Lord thy God. Now, you said the second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, that means that the second greatest sin is not to love your neighbor. Wouldn't that be true? Then I think it's worse not to love God than to kill somebody. Is that right? That's what you don't agree with that, do you? But that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, I want you to notice, he tells us how to love him. He says in various parts of the Bible, he says, love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, with all your soul. Those basically would be a summary of the ways he says we're to love him. Now, these aren't four loves. There isn't one love with your heart, and one love with your soul, and one love with your body, and one love with your mind. These are all parts of one great love. If you don't love him with your heart, you don't love him. If you don't love him with your mind, you don't love him. If you don't love him with your body, you don't love him. If you don't love him with your soul, you don't love him. Now, I want you to notice he proceeds to tell us how we're to love him, or the ingredients of this love, which is the greatest of all the commandments. He said in the first place, and I'll give them not necessarily in order, but in the order that I'm placing them. He said in the first place, with all your heart. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to love God affectionately. Your heart is the seat of emotions. That means I'm to love God with my heart. That's not talking about a doctrinal love. That's not talking about a theologian's love. That's not talking about a morning worship service love. That's not talking about just a grateful love. That's not talking about a formal kind of a love. It's talking about an emotional kind of a love. I'm to love him with praise your wonderful name. I'm to love him with glory and hallelujah and praise the Lord and glory to his name. I'm to love him that way. You folks that criticize the people that love him that way, you better watch it carefully now, because you're breaking a commandment of God. It is a commandment of God to love him with your heart. I said your heart. That's interesting. He breaks it down. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. I'm not saying you have to say amen in church, but say amen somewhere. I'm not saying you have to have a spell in church, but have a spell somewhere. I'm not saying you have to say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, take off your shoes, clap your hands in church. I don't mind that in church, but I'm saying you ought to do it somewhere. I'm saying that God said the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God first with all your heart. Now, secondly, he says, with all your mind. What does that mean? I'm to think about him. I'm to think about his goodness. I'm to think about his blessings. I'm to think about his forgiveness. I'm to think about his mercy. I'm to think about his grace. I'm to think about his praise. I am to spend a part of my life with my mind dwelling on the goodness of God and with my mind exuding love for God. Now, that is another ingredient of the kind of love I'm supposed to have. I'm supposed to love him with my heart and with my mind, then with my body. Now, how do I love the Lord God with my body? That's I serve him. It may be preaching. I'm loving him right now. I'm serving him right now with my body. It may be soul winning. You folks that were out with the bus route this morning, you were loving God with your body. It may be teaching a Sunday school class. It may be a bus route. It may be cleaning the church building. It may be a Bible club. It may be some other capacity. But you folks, all you ever do is just in your heart, you feel some love. In your mind, you think about it. But all you do for God is fill up about 20 inches of pew on a Sunday morning and sometimes Sunday night. Now, my Bible says you're supposed to love God with your body. You're supposed to serve. Ask your question. What have you done to serve God this week? I mean, what have you done this week with your body to serve God? So God said, the great commandment is to love the Lord my God. How do I love you, dear Lord? Love me with all of your heart. Love me with all of your mind. Love me with all of your body. Now he said, love him with all of your soul. I am to love the Lord thy God with my God with all of my soul. Now what does that mean? That means I'm supposed to encourage God. You say encourage God. Does God need encouraging? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You'll find God can be grieved. I'm supposed to encourage God. I'm supposed to delight him. I'm supposed to cheer him. Let me ask you a question. Are you obeying the first commandment? How long has it been since in your heart you said, well, hallelujah? How long has it been since you said, well, praise God for His goodness, well, glory to God? How long has it been? I'm saying it's time God's people got out of their complacency and their dead worship on Sunday morning and their staid kind of Christianity and got out of being at ease in Zion and got out of being lukewarm and decided to give God the heartfelt, praising, hallelujah kind of love that God deserves. It's also time that you took some time, schedule some time to love Him with your mind. You schedule time to eat, you schedule time to sleep, you schedule time to go to work, and the greatest command is not thou shalt sleep. I wish it were. The greatest command is not thou shalt go to work. I'm glad it's not. The greatest command is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and then with all thy mind. How long has it been since you sat down and just dwelt on the fact how good God is to me? My sins are forgiven. My name is written in heaven. How patient He's been. How good He's been. He loves me. His grace has saved me. His mercy has sought me. And His forgiveness has come to me. And His blood has bought me. How long has it been since you sat down? Turn the stupid box off and think how good God is. Close your dirty magazine, and most of them are dirty. Close your dirty magazine and think how good God is. Take some time from your schedule and quit your playing and running around and buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage and think how good God is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time God's people got back to New Testament Christianity. Love Him, He said. How long has it been since you loved Him with your body? How long has it been since you took some clothes and gave them to a cold body? How long has it been since you took some food and gave it to a hungry body? How long has it been since you went out to Skid Row and lifted somebody from the miry clay? How long has it been since you went? And by the way, some of you people that have a few bucks and have a few degrees, it do you good to get with these street people workers and go down to Lower Wacker Drive and get down where people are not as fortunate as you are, live, and serve God with your body. We think the average person, if he comes to church on Sunday morning, sits here for an hour, drops a buck or two in the collection plate, he served God. No, sir. The church is a place where you get strength to go out and serve God with your body. Now then, that's the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy body, with all of thy soul. Follow me carefully. What's the second? He said, the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But He said something before that. He said the second is like to the first. What is He saying? He's saying the second commandment is the same as the first one. He's saying the second commandment is also the same as the first one. It is like unto the first. What's the first commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. What's the second commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. You say, hold it, preacher. It doesn't say that. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, maybe you all look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to see me. And they said, well, when did we see you hungry and fed you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When were you in prison? We came to see you. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. What is He saying? Jesus said, you want to love me with all of your heart? Then love your neighbor with all of your heart. If you want to love me with all of your mind, then love your neighbor with all your mind, because loving your neighbor is loving me. And loving your neighbor, praising your neighbor is praising me. And thinking about your neighbor is thinking about me. And serving your neighbor is serving me. And encouraging your neighbor is encouraging me. And lifting your neighbor is lifting me. So what God is saying here, He's saying the first commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second commandment is like unto the first. Also, it is loving the Lord thy God with all your body, your heart, mind, body, and soul. So when I love you with all my heart, I'm loving Him. So, when I love you with all my mind, I'm loving Him. So, when I serve you with my body, I'm serving Him. So, if I love you with my soul, I'm loving Him. So, when I'm affectionate to you, I'm loving Him. When I think how much I love you, I'm loving Him. When I serve you, I'm serving Him. When I give you a drink of water when you're thirsty, I'm serving Him, loving Him. When I give you some food when you're hungry, I'm loving Him. When I come to see you when you're in prison, I'm loving Him. That means that God's first commandment is, love me. His second commandment is, love me. How do you love me? As you love your neighbor. Follow me carefully. Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, he has a vision. In that vision, he sees a man from Macedonia. Don't miss it. This man from Macedonia is saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Dr. Luke, who wrote this epistle of Acts, or this book of Acts, says immediately we sailed. Now, God did not say go to Macedonia. God did not come and say to the Apostle Paul and to Luke and to Silas, go to Macedonia. It was a man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. What is it saying? It is saying, man's need is God's call. Did you hear what I said? Man's need is God's call. I was driving down the road in Richmond, Virginia. I saw a wreck. And I saw a lady's body hurled out of the car. Now, I did not stop and say, dear God, should I go help that lady? No, sir. God, the fact that she was outside that car, lying almost lifeless outside that car, was God's call to me. I got out of the car. She was dying. I wanted to Christ before she died. I was driving down the highway with Bill Harvey years ago. Saw a pickup truck in front of us turn up on its back like that and go out on the field and a farmland, go up in the air. As it went up in the air, a little boy fell out of the thing, and the truck fell on the boy. Now, Bill Harvey and I didn't say, dear God, would you have us go? No, sir. God led us. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has some things He wants you to do to help other people, and He's before ordained them, and you stay in the will of God, you'll cross the path of people that have need, and that's the way you tell God you love Him. Now, who is my neighbor? The Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is my neighbor? That question was asked in the 10th chapter of Luke about the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? And the Lord Jesus told the story about that man been beaten and robbed and left half dead beside the road. Now, that priest came by. It was the will of God that priest help him. That Levite came by. It was the will of God that Levite help him. But they're too busy going to church to help anybody in need. They're too busy going to denominational meeting to help anybody in need. You listen to me. My Bible said, pure religion and undefiled is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If you're not helping people, you don't have pure religion. And by the way, you don't love God either. I said you don't love God either. That means that my neighbor is anyone in need within the bounds of my propriety and ability to help. When you meet the emotional needs of your wife or husband, you're loving God. Some of you spiritual giant women love God, got part of the Bible memorized, teach a Bible class, but not loving to your husband. You don't love God. Because you can't love God without loving as yourself your neighbor, and that's the same as the first commandment. That means when you tell each other, I love you, you're loving God. When you meet the needs of your mother and father, you're loving God. When you meet the needs of your son and daughter, you're loving God. You meet the needs of your friends, you're loving God. You meet the needs of the needy, you're loving God. You meet the needs of widows and orphans, you're loving God. God said, I want you to love me with all your mind, heart, and body. And the second commandment is, I'll tell you how you can do it. It is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm loving God now. I'm loving God when I counsel with you. I'm loving God when I weep with you. I'm loving God when I encourage you. I'm loving God when I bury your loved ones. I'm loving God when I marry your youth. I'm loving God when I give fund to your children to Vacation Bible School. I'm loving God when I keep our schools open so your families can be educated. I tell you, when you love God, when you bring hope and joy to a ghetto-bound bus kid, you're loving God. I tell you, when you're loving God, when you go to Lower Wacker Drive and bring love to a homeless person, you're loving God. I'll tell you, when you're loving God, when you place your arms around your husband and say, I love you and appreciate you, that's when you're loving God. Didn't Sarah call Abraham Lord? Was she saying to Abraham, you're my God? No, she's saying the way I can show my love to my God is act like you are and love you. How can you love God when you have become eyes to the blind who live in a world of nighttime? You're loving God. How can you love God when you bring a smile and an encouragement to one whose world is silent? That's when you love God. How can you love God when you bring hope to a public school student who lives in a loveless world? That's how you can love God. How can you love God when you enter into a rest home and sit beside one whose world is 12 by 12, whose sun is a light bulb, whose outside is a window, whose sky is a ceiling, whose horizon is a wall, whose ground is some asphalt tile, and you bring cheer to those who are bound as slaves or prisoners to a room forever, never to get outside of it. And while you go to your amusement park and ride up and down and ride the merry-go-round and have fun riding the cars and have fun going to the ball game and cheer for the Cubs and cheer for the Bulls and cheer for the Sox and cheer for the Bears, there's a whole world of people who are bound in rest homes that'll never get out. Quit thinking about your fun and yourself and love God for a while. Oh, what a selfish bunch we are. You don't know how to love God? When you open your heart to a mission man whose dreams are gone, whose future is past, you're loving God. When you place your arms of love around the mother of your children, that's when you're loving God. When you love a couple back to loving each other, that's how you love God. When you put your arms around the one who bore you and say, I love you, mother, that's the way you love God. When you put your arms around the man who supports you, provides for you, puts the food on the table. I'm tired of all these kids coming to me saying, well, my daddy wasn't good to me. My daddy, he never spent any time with me. He spent time for you. He's got grease under his fingernails so he could put some food on your table. This ungrateful generation going to some ignorant, stupid psychologist who tries to blame everybody under the sun except you. I'm saying it's time that children decided to love mom and dad and tell them they love them. How do you love God? When you lift the one who has fallen below bottom, that's how you love God. How do you love God when you feel the wrinkles of an aging grandmother and tell her you love her? That's how you love God. How do you love God when you salvage the life of a young lady who's given birth to a child out of wedlock? That's how you love God. How do you love God when you're help to the helpless, strength to the weak, lift to the fallen, eyes to the blind, ears to the deaf, hope to the hopeless, legs to the lame, cheer to the sad, comfort to the bereaved, mending to the brokenhearted, the way back to the wanderer? That's how you love God. Oh, dear God, I love you. Oh, you don't love Him. You can't keep the first without the second. He said, this is the great commandment. Love me with all your heart. Praise me. Honor me. Exalt me. Glorify me. Love me with all your mind. Think about me. Dwell on my goodness to you. Love me with all your body. Serve me. Love me with all your soul. Encourage me and cheer me. Well, what's the second? Same as the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The other day, I had a very unusual day. I was going to O'Hare Field. As I told you before, I belong to Red Carpet Club for United Airlines and Admiral's Club for American Airlines. A little room where you can go and you can get some work done. Have telephones and fax machines and private desk and so forth. We get some work done. So I go there and I work when I'm waiting for an airplane. The other day I decided to get alone at the Red Carpet Club and I was going to read all the Psalms. As I was there quite early and no traffic going to the airport much, and I probably had a couple hours. And I decided I was going to read all the Psalms before I boarded the airplane. Walked inside the airport, going to get my boarding pass. An older lady. I'm talking about old, 69 or 70. I'm an old lady. All of a sudden, she dropped her suitcase. Her hair was white, her shoulders were drooped. And I said, "Ms. Evans, how are you doing?" But anyway, when she dropped her suitcase, everything came out. I'm talking about makeup. I'm talking about clothes. I'm talking about dresses. I'm talking about. And there it was. It reminded me of the day I was in Phoenix, Arizona. I forgot to zip up my suitcase real well. I was rushing to catch an airplane. Fellow said, "Hey, you dropped something." Looked behind me. All my dirty underwear just right down the line. I mean, at least 50 feet. Dirty pajamas, dirty shorts, dirty T-shirts, dirty socks. All of them just lined up. I turned around and I said, "I wonder who those are." I was at the airport. I was going to spend 2 hours praising God, reading His Psalms, and that's synonymous. You read the Psalms and think about Him, you'll praise Him. I was going to show Him I loved Him and tell Him I loved Him. Well, there's that stupid suitcase, that dear old lady. Nobody cared, so I reached down, I picked up everything, put it back in the suitcase for her. I picked up the dresses, I picked up the shoes, I picked up the purses, I picked up the. And she said, "I just can't carry the suitcase, young man." Well, glory! I said, "Would you say that again, please?" She said, "I just can't carry the suitcase, young man." So like that letter I got a few years ago, so I'm glad that your young men like you, Dr. Howells, are coming on and take the place of Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and Catherine Kuhlman. I said, "I'll take your suitcase to the gate for you." I'm sorry, to the counter. So I took it to the counter. And she said, "I never flown before." I said, "Give me a ticket, I'll get you checked in." I got her checked in. I decided to go to the Red Carpet Club so I could read the Psalms and praise the Lord a while and love Him. On the way, I saw a couple over in the corner weeping uncontrollably. Same day. I walked over and I said, "Could I help you folks?" I said, "I'm a Baptist pastor." And they said, "Yes, our daughter in her 30s has just died. We're going to the funeral." I opened my Bible, the 23rd Psalm, 91st Psalm, John 14, 1 through 3, and I read those scriptures to them, part of them. And I prayed with them. They thanked me. I went to the gate to get my boarding pass before I went to the Red Carpet Club so I could spend 2 hours reading the Psalms to tell God I loved Him. The agent was a man. He said, "What's your final?" He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "San Antonio." He says, "That's your final destination?" I said, "No, it isn't." He said, "Well, that's what it says here. You're going to San Antonio." I said, "That's not my final destination." He said, you want your bags checked, your final destination? I said, I don't think you have service to where I'm going. He said, have you bought a ticket yet? And I said, it's been bought for me. He said, what was the cost of it? I said, blood. He said, blood? I said, blood. I said, it's the blood of Jesus. I said, my final destination is heaven. Strange thing. Now, normally they'll get mad at you because they're busy, but there's nobody else in line there. He put his pen down and looked at me and began to weep. And he said, nobody's ever talked like that here before. I said, you never had an old-fashioned, independent, narrow-minded, fundamental King James Bible Baptist probably here before either. I said, let me tell you how you can have the same final destination I have. An angel went out and stopped all the people from coming to that county as I told him the wonderful story of love and received Christ as his Savior right there at the counter. I looked at my watch, had about an hour left. I can't read all the Psalms, but I can go read some of the Psalms at Red Carpet Club. Tell God I love him. I kept on and I saw so many people in need and never got to read the Psalms. I said, I'll read the Psalms on the airplane. Sit down at my seat. Beside me was a little boy about 12 years old. 10 or 12. He's crying. I said, son, why are you crying? He said, because I had to leave my daddy. I said, what do you mean? He said, my mom and daddy are divorced. And I don't get to see my daddy very often. I just spent Christmas with my daddy and New Year's. And I've got to go back. I want to see my mama, but I want to see my daddy too. So I started cutting up with him. We had a big fun together. Before the thing was over, we were having a big time. I told him about my daddy who left me. I told him I knew exactly how he felt because I never got to see my daddy much either because my daddy left us also. And little boy, he and I became real buddies on the airplane. We were in the aisle playing hopscotch and little games like that. Never got to read the Psalms. Tell what the hell I'll do. I'll stay up 2 hours tonight and tell God how much I love him and read all the Psalms. Went to church that night and preached. After I got through preaching, a couple came up. And one of them, the man, said to me, we want to show you something. I said, go ahead and show me. He looked over and grabbed his wife and placed a kiss on her that make you blush almost or drool. Depends on how old you are. I'm not that old, by the way. But he said, you know what you just saw? I said, what? He said, that's the first one she's had in 2 years. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we're getting a divorce. But said, I'd heard about you and I wanted to hear you preach and I came with her tonight. He said, your sermon saved our marriage. What a wonderful day I'd had. Best thing that happened, I was called a young man. What a wonderful day. I said, I'm going to go back to my room and I'm going to read all the Psalms before I go to sleep tonight. I got to the room. When I got to the room, within 5 minutes, the phone rang. I picked it up. A little girl was on the phone. She said, Dr. Hiles, I want to thank you. She said, you got my mom and daddy back together tonight. She said, my daddy and mama were going to leave each other in divorce. You got my mom and daddy back together tonight. I talked to her about 15 minutes, I guess. And she thanked me. I hung up. It's getting around 11 o'clock now. I've got to have some rest. I hadn't read a single psalm except the ones I read of that couple that lost a daughter. I got on my knees beside the bed and said, I loved you today. I loved you. I loved you when I helped that lady put her things back in the suitcase and helped her get her boarding pass. I loved you when I saw that couple who had lost a daughter. I loved you when I encouraged that little boy on the airplane. I loved you when I won that agent to Jesus Christ and told him my final destination was heaven. I loved you when I got the couple back together through my sermon tonight. And I loved you when I got that little girl, mom and daddy, they're going to stay together. Do you love him? Oh, I love what Spurgeon said. Dear Jesus, I pray you'd help me to love you so much. When I look up and say, I love you, Jesus, you'll look back and say, I know it, Charles. And do you know how or what can cause him to say that? When you love him, our God, with all of your heart. Emotionally. You don't want your wife to go home after church today and say, I lovest thou. Thou the father of my children. Thou the buyer of my beans. Thou the payer of my rentest. I lovest thou. Amen. Amen. How great thou art. How great thou art. If my wife did that, I'd take her to the psychiatrist this afternoon. That's not the kind of love God wants either. God wants an emotional love. A praise the Lord love. A hallelujah, glory to God kind of a love. That's what He wants. And God wants you to love Him with all your mind. He wants you to think about Him and dwell on Him. And think how wonderful He is. He wants you to love Him with all your body. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to love Him with all your soul. He wants you to encourage His heart. Make Him happy and cheer Him. Then He says, don't go away. I got a second commandment, and it's just like the first. It's also to love me. But this is the way you love me in the second commandment. You feed my children who are hungry. You clothe my children who are cold. You lift my children who are fallen. You encourage my children who are discouraged. I'll close with this, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm no saint. I'm far from being a saint. But I don't do what you do to have fun. I just don't. I don't go to ball games. I don't go to amusement parks. I don't fish. I don't hunt. I don't bowl. I don't play golf. I have a miserable life. I don't do all that stuff. But I'm a pretty happy person. You know why? Please forgive me for saying it, but I spent most of my life trying to love my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my body, and all my soul. And I've tried to love Him the second time by loving my neighbor as myself. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto, or it is the same as the first. How many lifted fallen ones have you lifted? How many discouraged ones have you encouraged? How many times have you gone to the streets and picked up somebody out of the gutter? How many bus kids have you brought, taken from hell, and told them the way to go to heaven? Then don't you talk about loving God. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love... No, you don't. No, you don't. My Jesus, I love... No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Unless you're loving people with your heart. With your mind, with your body, and with your soul. That's Christianity. Did you know that religion is mentioned 7 times in the Bible? Only 1 time is it good? Only once. Religion is bad six times and good one time, and that one time is where it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to carry a Scofield Bible, no sir. To quit going to movies, no sir. And all this is, you know, it's good to do, and I've done it. Quit smoking, no. Quit drinking, no. What is pure religion? To visit the widows and fatherless in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Say what you do. You spend the day like I spent that day at the airport and on my way to San Antonio, Texas. You spend the day like that. And you can do what I did that night as I got up on my bed, standing up on my bed barefooted with my pajamas on. And I sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me." And I said, "Dear God, today I've loved you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my body, with all my soul. And I've loved you another way. I've loved my neighbor as myself." Our Heavenly Father.
Thus saith the Lord.